You're listening to the Apollo Podcast Network.
In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about why a little bit of patience when it comes to buying the stuff you love could mean you getting the stuff that you love for free for the rest of your life. And I'm going to use math to prove it to you that if you can just put off buying some of the things you love, the cars, the boats, the clothes, whatever it is that you want, you hold off on it for just a little bit of time, you can literally get it for free for the rest of your life. Don't miss this episode.
This is Titanium Life Radio with your host, peak performance speaker and business coach, Armand Sadeghi.
What is the eighth wonder of the world? Well, according to Albert Einstein, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it, and he who does not pays it. Today, we're going to go through what this statement means and just how incredibly powerful understanding this can be in your life. If Albert Einstein, pretty smart dude, said compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world, I think we should all listen to why it is. And see, we've all heard about compound interest. We know what interest is. We know how people talk about, well, you save money, it makes money, blah, blah, blah. But today I'm going to put some shocking numbers in front of you where even if you're really good at math, the numbers will blow you away. And if you're not that great at math, man, they're really going to blow you away because it just doesn't seem to make sense. Our brains cannot possibly comprehend this. And so to start with, the example I'm going to give you is this. This will explain to you what compound interest is like. I don't know how many of you play golf out there. I'm a pretty terrible golfer, but let's say you're a pretty good golfer and you're going to go golfing with a friend and you want to have some fun with this friend, right? So you get out to the golf course and you know you're better than they are. You make sure you know you're better before you do this. Otherwise, this is not going to be a good day for you. But you tell your friend, you're like, hey, you know, I kind of feel like putting some money on this game, make it a little more interesting. What do you think? And the friend says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. How much do you want to put per hole? And you're like, whatever, you know, what do you think? The friend says, why don't we just do $5 a hole? Okay. And you look at him, you're like, you know what, that's good. But here's the thing, man. My golf game, I always start off really slow. So why don't we just make it where the first hole, let's do 25 cents. And I know you want to do $5. So what we'll do is every hole, we'll just double it. Okay, so we'll start off with 25 cents the first hole, second hole will be 50 cents, third one will be a dollar, so on and so forth. We'll just double it each time, and sort of towards the end, it'll be a little bit more exciting. And the friend like thinks about it and goes, okay, yeah, you know, that sounds great. So at $5 a hole, 18 holes of golf, that would be $90, right? The total bet would be $90. Let's see what happens if instead of that, we start with 25 cents, a much lower amount, and go forward. So the first hole will be 25 cents. The second hole will be 50 cents. By the sixth hole, it gets to $8, right? That's still not much. That's not a big deal. $8 a hole, a little more than your friend wanted to spend per hole. But at this point, it's still not that big of a deal because the first few holes were way, way, way less, right? By the ninth hole, you are now betting $64 a hole, which is definitely more than your friend wanted to bet per hole. So at $64 a hole, you're almost near what you would have spent the entire 18 holes. And your friend is getting a little scared here. He's like, oh gosh, you know, it's more than I wanted to spend, but it's no big deal, you know, he's perfectly fine. By the 12th hole, you are now betting $512 per hole. And at this point, your friend is looking into his wallet and saying, ooh, I didn't bring enough money for this. But he's still thinking about it. He's going, man, this is crazy. $512 a hole. You pulled a real fast one on me. Thank goodness there aren't that many holes left. You get to the 16th hole and you are now betting per hole. The 16th hole is $8,192. So by the 16th hole, you've gone from 25 cents to $8,000 a hole. By the 18th hole, my friends, the bet is $32,768. That's 25 cents doubled 18 times, and it comes to the last bet being $32,000 and some change. For a total bet, remember, at $5 a hole, the total bet for 18 holes would have been $90, 90 measly dollars. And when I started this, all of you knew, ooh, Armand's going to talk about this number, and you thought it was going to be a big number when I said it. But how many of you thought it would go from $90 to, listen to this total, $65,535.75. $65,000, and we started at a quarter. So my friends, the next time you want to make more money, you want to have more money, you want to have more wealth, it's not about going to your boss and asking your boss to give you a pay raise, because that pay raise is the equivalent of winning another $5 hole, right? Instead, if you can figure out how to get compound interest to work for you, the power of it is incredible. So how does this apply to you? See, when you're borrowing money, you're on the wrong end of compound interest. and you're paying it. And yes, you're paying it at these kinds of rates. So if I take you to the golf course and I tell you to play this game with me, unless you know you're better than me, you're probably not going to take this bet. But we take this bet every day with our credit cards. We take this bet every day when we go into debt. Now, if you understand this and you put your money into what did I talk about last time? Assets, not liabilities. If you put your money into assets, guess what? You earn money at this rate. So I have a simple titanium 7-year rule that assumes you can put your money into something and make about a 10% return. Now look, 10%, for some of you are going to say, well, that's pretty high. It's really not that high. If you look at the average real estate investment over the last 25 years, and I say 25 years because it includes the massive drop that we had in the mid-2000s, okay? If you look at real estate then over the last 25 years, making 10% on your money would have actually been quite easy. And part of the reason is this. It's not like you have to go buy a house with cash, correct? So let's take a simple example of a house, and let's use a simple number that's easy to do for math. Let's say you buy a house for $100,000. If you buy a house for $100,000, you're typically not buying it cash. So let's say you put $20,000 down on that house. So your true investment is only $20,000. So now let's say over the period of some years, that house goes up from $100,000 to $110,000. I asked this question to rooms of hundreds of people, and you'd be amazed that over 80% of people get the answer to this question wrong. Well, if the value of your house goes from $100,000 to $110,000, what percent have you made? Most people will say, I've made 10%. You have not. You've actually made 50%. Why? Because your original investment was only $20,000. So if you sell the house today, you're actually going to be able to pay back the loan, and you get to keep $30,000, taking all the transaction fees and stuff like that out of it. Let's ignore all that. You've actually made $50,000. So imagine what happens if your house goes up in value, let's say $20,000. Now you've made 100% on your money. What if your house doubles in value? If your house doubles in value from $100,000 to $200,000, and by the way, any of you who live in Southern California or various parts of the US, you've seen this happen over the last 7 years where some real estate values have literally doubled. And so during that time, think about it. If you had bought a house for $100,000 and you'd put $20,000 into it, and now the house is worth $200,000, you have actually multiplied your money by a factor of 6. That's 600% growth in 8 years. So my friends, when I ask you for 10% a year in interest, can you earn 10% on your money? Yes. By learning some very simple tools, it is fairly easy to make 10% on your money. Now, I'm going to talk to you about real estate in a future episode here. I'm going to talk to you about the stock market, but there's so many different ways of investing your money. So today we want to talk about the 7-year rule. So what is the 7-year rule? Assuming you can make 10% on your money, if you hold off on buying anything for 7 years, then 7 years from today, you can buy that thing that you held off on and still get to keep your money. Interesting. What does that mean? Let's say you want to go out and you want to buy yourself a nice convertible. You go out and you see this beautiful Mercedes convertible. It's your dream car. You want to buy it today. If you buy it today, then you get to have the car, right? You pay for it. But if instead of buying it today, you say, you know what? I'm going to keep driving my economical car for the next 7 years. And in 7 years, I'm going to go buy that same Mercedes. If in 7 years you buy that Mercedes, and by the way, you get to get the newest version, whatever it is, right? Assuming it's the same price as it was. You now get to keep your money and get the car. And here's the best part. You get to keep your money, you get to keep the car, and you'll get a new Mercedes every 7 years for the rest of your life. Yes, that's true. How does that work? Well, let's say the car that you're going to buy is $100,000 and you invest it. Well, if you're making 10% on your money, what that means that your $100,000 in 7 years will be $200,000. So now you could take $100,000 of it out, go buy the car, and guess what? You still have your $100,000. But that $100,000 is gonna double every 7 years, meaning you could get a brand new car every 7 years. Now, by the way, if you can make 15 or 20% on your money, this becomes like the 3-year rule or the 4-year rule. So the key is by just saying, hey, I'm gonna wait to acquire this liability. You get to keep your money, get that thing that you love, but then get it every 7 years for the rest of your life. It also, by the way, works if, let's say, you are going to buy something and you're going to make payments on it. So if you're going to buy a car and you're going to make payments, you don't have $100,000. The same rules still apply. If instead of making the payments of whatever it is, $500 a month, if you take that $500, you invest it into something where you're making at least 10%, then in 7 years, you get to have that car for free for the rest of your life. And again, you could rebuy it get a new version every 7 years. And by the way, I'm not even talking about what you do with the old one. You can sell the old one and get the money from that one as well on top of all of this. So you essentially, if you hold off on something that's a payment, okay, this is an important one. If you hold off on making that payment for 7 years, then your money will build enough to be enough money for you to make that payment every month for the rest of your life and still keep your money. It's pretty amazing. Now, the 7 year rule works in one other way too. Let's say you invest $100 per month for 7 years and then you stop. See, that doesn't seem like much. Anybody listen to this podcast, even if you are literally working for minimum wage, I guarantee you can find $100 somewhere. Anybody listen to this, but if you can afford to listen to a podcast, whatever device you're using, trust me, you can save $100. What if you saved $100 a month and then stopped after 7 years? See, the power of compound interest is such, that's not that much money at all. But in 30 years, that adds up to be $100,000. Now, when you look at that number, you're like, well, what's the big deal of $100,000 in 30 years? Look, you were only saving $100 a month, right? Well, what if you invested $1,000 a month? See, if you invest $1,000 a month and then you stop after 7 years, that's the key to this, is you stop in 7 years and then you can do whatever the heck you want. In 30 years, you'll have $1 million. That's insane. The thought that $1,000 a month in investment can turn into $1 million. And again, it's only for 7 years. So the 7 year rule works for you or against you, depending on how you do things. So get on the right side of this compound interest thing. Start focusing on acquiring assets. Things like stocks, things like real estate, businesses, tools, things that make you money. Get out there and invest in those things instead of purchasing all these liabilities. And all the liabilities that you want, just tell yourself, I'm going to wait for them. Now, you don't have to wait 7 years. If you wait 3 years or 3.5 years, hey, you're halfway there. So now, if you hold off on buying that car for 3.5 years, essentially half the car is paid for. Hey, that's not bad, right? And if you can make more than 10% on your money, which I guarantee you, most of you can make way more than 10% on your money. If you're intelligent, if you do wise things with your money, you can make a lot more. So get out there, apply the titanium 7 year rule, and understand that Albert Einstein wasn't kidding around when he said compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who does not pays it. I want to see you guys kick some serious butt with your finances. So now, about halfway through this series on finances, you've got some really, really good information. So there are 3 more episodes coming up, but don't wait for those 3 episodes. Do what I taught you already in the first episode. Cut your expenses, number one. Number two, start acquiring assets and allow this 7 year rule to work for you. And then number three, once you've done those two and once you've learned how to use money, get out there, work as hard as you possibly can, make as much money as you can, and be smart with that money. And of course, be obsessed with your long-term goals. Hey, next time we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, in the next 2 episodes, investing in real estate and investing in the stock market. If you don't know how to do it, I'm going to give you some of the basics, or at least some basic motivation for it, and some really cool secrets I've discovered throughout the years that are going to help you make it a reality and make it a big success. Hey, get out there today like every other day, and always lead with your heart. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. If you like what you heard, please go over to iTunes, search Titanium Life, subscribe to the show, download and listen to all the episodes. Yes, all the episodes. They're really good stuff. And then don't forget to rate and review the show. Remember, 5 is our favorite number, especially when you're giving us ratings. Do you have a question you've been dying to ask me about your business, about health, fitness, finances, relationships, whatever it may be? Go to my social media right now and ask me your question, and I'm going to answer it on a future episode. You can always follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Titanium Success. So reach out to me, and I'll make sure to get your questions answered on a future episode. Don't forget to check out our website, www.titaniumsuccess.com, or you can always email me, info@titaniumsuccess.com. I love hearing from you guys, and my website is a wealth of knowledge about business, fitness, finances, everything else you can imagine that goes along with these podcasts. So please go check that out now, www.titaniumsuccess.com. Comes to 32,600. So let's say you're a pretty good golfer and you're going to go golfing with your fun. No, you're going to go golfing with your friend. Okay, here we go.
Thanks for listening to Titanium Life Radio with Armand Sadeghi here on the Apollo Podcast Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit titaniumsuccess.com/podcast.